I was going to write a very different sermon this week. Just ask Denise, I had all these plans, and I was going to give you a real simple sort of feel-good sermon this week. But that is not, unfortunately, exactly what you're going to get. Because sometimes a story just won't let you twist it to fit your needs. And sometimes the moment in which we find ourselves won't let an honest person preach anything simple at all. Such is this story, and such is this moment in time. I wanted to tell you that Jacob, among the patriarchs of a great people, spent what felt like an entire lifetime fighting. That he spent this whole lifetime fighting for his family, fighting with his family, fighting his brother, fighting other people from other lands, and in this story, fighting God with bare knuckles, fighting all the way. And I wanted to tell you that no person needs to spend a lifetime that way, that we do not have to connive or fight or wrestle our way to blessings, because the blessings of this abundant universe are here for the taking. I wanted to tell you those things, not just because they're feel-good sorts of things, but because, on a deep level, I believe them. But those aren't the things that this story is trying to say. And frankly, I'm not sure that those are the things we need to hear right now. After living with this story and living in these particular days, the truth is that I cannot blame Jacob for fighting, for holding on for dear life to everything that frightened him until somehow, some way, he wrenched a blessing out of that long, dark, painful night. I just couldn't judge him for that, because I know what it is to wrestle in a long, dark night, and so do you. I know what it is to be uncertain. I know what it is to be uncertain that this struggle or that struggle or whatever struggle we face, this seemingly insurmountable obstacle or that one, to be uncertain that such a thing could ever generate anything that a person could learn from, let alone be blessed by. I know. And we all know just what it is to hold on and not let go until something that saves us peeks out from underneath all that holds us down, peeks out from underneath all that tethers us back, all that fights us to the ground, all that meets us head on when we think we don't have the strength. And I could not blame Jacob for wrestling. Because Jacob lived in an unfair world. His was a world in which blessings could seem all too few and far between, a world where crops withered in the field for want of water, a world where people tilling the rocky ground wrenched spasms of pain out of their own backs, a world in which God was not always very likable, a world in which everybody was forever at risk of losing everything. It was a time and a place in which things that ought to be certain were uncertain, and in which truths that ought never to change seemed to sway beneath the feet of the faithful and obedient people like so much quicksand. It was a world where even people who followed the rules weren't always safe. It was a world where bad things happened to good people. Sound familiar at all? A world in which bad things happened to good people. Wherein things we ought to count on suddenly give way. In which there is much to fear and much to lose. It sounds an awful lot like life. And Jacob, this flawed and tragic figure who fails about as often as he succeeds, who lets his family down and then promises to be and become something better than he's ever been before, he sounds an awful lot like the rest of us. I open the paper these days, and every single morning's headline just seems to be scarier than the last one. The economy has tanked, people are losing their homes, and politicians and politicos are carving each other up like so much pot roast in preparation for an election that has once again proven to divide people more than it ever could have connected them. People all over this world, including themselves, are promising, like Jacob, to become so much better than we ever have been before, and people all over this world are fighting to keep those promises. So how can I blame Jacob for not letting go until he wrenched a blessing out of even his most difficult times? How can I blame him for that? When in fact, right this very minute, a great many of us are called to do the exact same thing. Hold on. Even in the darkness, even when it's hard, even when you're hurting, hold on and never let go until there is a gift for you that can only be born out of this, your present struggle, whatever it may be. Jacob's struggle, like many of those we face today in our own lives, caught him quite off guard. He didn't even know who he was fighting or why it happened or for what possible purpose. He only knew that he was face to face with power and that if he held on long enough, even if it hurt, if he fought the fight well, if he gave all the strength he had inside of him to surviving what faced him, even the fight itself could bless him. Now, for centuries, scholars have debated about this mysterious figure that confronts Jacob in the darkness, about who it really is and why such a thing would occur. Is it a man? Is it an angel, as is often translated? Is it God? But the real question is, who or what is it that has the power to hold us down and to bless us? Sometimes both at the same time. Today we might ask, what is it that has the power to turn even our greatest struggles into the sources of our greatest strength? And there's no clear answer to that question either. The story, like life, is opaque on purpose. It doesn't really want us to know who Jacob wrestles with, because after all, the forces we are called to confront in our own lives aren't always crystal clear either. We wake up each morning not knowing if we will, in the course of the day, be called to wrestle with our own flawed selves, with God, with the brokenness of people we love, the brokenness of people we loathe, or all of the above. Likewise, Jacob doesn't really know what he's fighting. He knows that he has to meet the challenge that confronts him head on, and he does that. Poignantly, I think, a lot of scholars over these years have come to determine that who Jacob wrestles in the end, that hidden one, is most likely meant to be Yahweh himself. Thus, Jacob is not just dealing with any old angel, but the very frightening face of the Holy itself. With the face of the Holy that neither Jacob, nor you, nor I would ever like to see. He's finding himself face to face with that which challenges us to be more than we are, with that which knocks us out of our complacency, with that which pushes us to find new strengths we didn't know we had, and it is not easy. Do you know what it is that you are fighting? Not always. But at your best, and when it is the right thing to do, you hold on too. You hold on to the pain and the darkness and the uncertainty until at long last there is a light, a blessing, born from your very struggle, a struggle that might be with everything that is holy in this world, a struggle that might be just with yourself. You hold on until you come out the other side of that struggle, something braver and bolder than you ever were before it. And you are newly one who has struggled. You are one who, like Jacob, bears a new name, a new identity even. You are one who held on, and in holding on, found truth and meaning and perhaps even something to love again. You are one who has struggled and one who has endured. And this identity, born out of painful wrestling, is the identity that might and must lie on the other side of everything that holds us down, causes us pain, and makes us worry today. It is the new name that we can be proud to bear. Jacob must have been frightened. He must have been baffled, even, about why such a thing would ever happen to him on this day of all days when he's finally decided to do something good with himself. He must wonder why it would happen to him. But he held on to his struggle. And there is no reason that you and I and all of us cannot do the same. And so do we, be granted, like he was, not only a blessing, but a newer, stronger identity that changes everything and that makes even that which was the most frightening thing in the world for us a part of the holy all over again. Now, last week, John and I talked this week about how many of you would get the fact that what I'm preaching today and what I preached last week could seem like complete contradictions and think I was crazy. Because last week, if you'll remember, I preached about devotion. I preached about love, about how often what we are called to do in this world is love what we love and allow that love to transform us, allow that love to remind us that everything we taste and see and touch is a part of the holy. Last week I talked about love, and today I speak about fighting, about holding on, about wrestling with ourselves and God and with the circumstances of our lives. And on some level, they do kind of contradict. Love God, fight God. Love the world and all that is in it. Fight the world and all that is in it until it blesses you. But the simple truth is that what we love and what we must wrestle with are often one and the same. The object of our devotion and the object of our ongoing efforts to hold on, they are not always different things. God can be our dear, beloved source of beauty and abundance, and at the same time be the force against which we must test our own strength, our own will, our own desire to hold on. And perhaps true holiness in this world, a place of abiding truth and peace, is to find a way in one's life to be both a lover and a fighter. Both persistent enough to not let go until you find the hope you need, and gentle enough to look around you at a world that might have more blessings than you ever dared imagine. There is a balance between loving this world and holding on for dear life, between appreciating and wrestling. Some wise person once said that they wake up every single morning torn between the dual human impulses to save the world and to savor it, to fight against its brokenness or to simply sit back, watch the blue of the sky contrast with the white of the clouds and be in the presence of great beauty. Jacob is asked in this story not just to love, but to come to love more deeply by the sheer persistence of his will. He is given not an easy path, but the most difficult path possible. And through the mystery of life and of love, his struggle is actually his greatest gift. In the very end of the whole story, God or the angel or whoever it is says to him, "Why do you ask my name?" And then blesses him on the spot. For God's name, the story says, is not something that can be oversimplified and handed over with a quick answer to a quick question. One cannot pin down the mystery. In the end, God's name is struggle, and God's name is love, and God's name is blessing and sorrow and fear and hope. How could you ask for clarification of such a name? Jacob, always guilty of overreaching a bit, is answered with simply a blessing. Today may be a day for you in which God's name is love and beauty and grace and growth. It may be a day when your heart overflows with blessing just as it is. Or today may be a day when God's name is something more difficult, when God's face is more challenging to see. Today God's name may be for you fear or exhaustion or uncertainty or doubt. And in wrestling with all your might against that force, your name might be courage, strength, honor, persistence. Who is to say what the name of the Holy is? Who is to say whether today we are called to love or to wrestle, to have it easy or to find our blessings in and through our struggle? The name of the Holy is all of the above. And our good work in this world is to be present to both. As we go from this place, may we, like Jacob, be blessed on both our most difficult days and our most beautiful ones. May we be blessed when all is going well and when everything is going wrong. May we be blessed when the world is what we would have it be and when everything has gone all awry. May we be blessed no matter how those blessings come. And may holiness and strength and peace find its way toward us even in our most difficult times. Today, do not ask the name of the Holy, for the Holy is everything you love and everything you fight against. The Holy, in the end, is even you.